Welcome to the Kona Edge, where you'll discover what the best triathletes in the world do to give them the edge.
Welcome on to this edition of the Kona Edge. I'm Brad Brown, and we chat to Rob Hill on this edition of the Kona Edge, a fascinating chat from Melbourne in Australia. And we'll be delving a little bit deeper into racing and training low carb. And speaking of which, this episode of the Kona Edge is brought to you by S Fuels. Every now and again, a truly unique product comes along. For far too long, triathlon nutrition has been pretty much more of the same. You know what exactly what I'm talking about, right? Sugar-laden bars and drinks, a little bit of salt thrown in and some caffeine. If that all sounds familiar, I've got some good news for you. For the last 3 years, a new company called Spike Free have been developing and testing several endurance sport fuel products. They're designed to train your body to use fat for fuel, which enables you as a triathlete to go longer and avoid the dreaded spike or bonk. They contain no sugar, there's no honey, syrups, sugar alcohols, wheat, oats, and cheap protein, which also helps you avoid gut and GI distress, which is very common in endurance sport. The product is called S Fuels, and more triathletes are starting to use them. And the good news is, so can you. S Fuels was recently launched in the ultra running space, and the response has been phenomenal. If you're in the United States, okay, and you'd like to try S Fuels out, all you need to do is click on the link in the podcast player or in the show notes below this episode of the Kona Edge, and they'll send you a free box. They'll even throw in the shipping. It's as simple as that. Alternatively, what you can do is text the word S Fuels, that's S-F-U-E-L-S, to 44222, and I'll text you the details right back. I'll send you the coupon code and the link where you can check out to get that free box sent to you. That's S Fuels to 44222. Today's Coach's Corner is brought to you by Coach Parry Triathlon Coaching. With a passion for high-performance sport, Lindsay Parry is one of South Africa's most widely recognized and respected coaches. Having led a team to the London and Rio Olympic Games, Lindsay has coached both triathletes and runners onto podiums of some of the world's most illustrious races. Lindsay has the unique ability to understand what it takes to succeed at any level and thrives on coaching, motivating, and inspiring others to do the same. To find out more about working with Coach Parry, head over to thekonaedge.com/coaching. And don't forget, if you're a coach or if you have a coaching business and you'd like to get a plug on the podcast, head over to thekonaedge.com/coaching. Well, let's chat some nutrition now. We touch base once again with Rob Hill, who's out in Melbourne in Australia. Rob, welcome back onto the Kona Edge. It's good to have you with us.
Yeah, thank you, Brad. It's great to be back again.
Rob, on a scale of 1 to 10, where would you rate nutrition in the sort of greater scheme of triathlon things?
I'd rate it probably fairly low for sprint triathlon, right up to, you know, 9 out of 10 to 10 out of 10 for Ironman triathlon. Yeah, it really depends on the distance that you're competing in, but I mean, day to day sort of nutrition is critical for all triathlon. But yeah, come race day, then Ironman. It's been called the fourth discipline, and very, very important.
Yeah, I mean, the shorter ones, you can wing it and mess things up, but the longer you go, the more sort of precise you have to be. Let's talk day-to-day, though, and sort of laying that correct nutrition foundation. What is your approach to things?
Look, my approach has changed a lot over the years, and I remember, it must be probably 12 years ago, I went to a registered sports nutritionist. My coach had recommended, and I sort of wrote down like food diary of what I was eating and how much training I was doing, and she said, look, you're having nowhere near enough carbohydrates. You know, to fuel that level of training on a daily basis, you have to have way more carbohydrates. So, and like, I was having huge bowls of pasta back then, and then she got me to add some slices of white bread, and you know, it was like I was just having carbohydrate, you know, overload. And then my partner Nikki, she said to me probably 3 years ago, I'd really like you to try a low carbohydrate approach to your Ironman training and racing. And she'd experimented with a ketogenic diet, which is where you cut your carbohydrate down so low that your body then turns to burning its own fat for fuel, and in the form of ketones in the blood. And so this is like 3 months out from Hawaii Ironman, and she's suggesting that I try this. I said, there's no way known I'm going to try something that sounded so freaky a few months out from Hawaii. But I committed to her that I'd look into it and give it a go after Hawaii. I experimented and went into ketosis, and it's absolute eye-opener. But I mean, prior to that, though, I'd found that doing some fasted training on longer bike rides, you know, not the longest bike rides I do, but anything up to maybe 4 hours just on water, was really seemed to be paying off for me, that my Ironman performances were improving a lot. And the only thing I could put it down to after so many years in the sport was that my body was getting better at burning fat during the race and not being quite as carbohydrate dependent.
You talk, I mean, you mentioned the word freaky, and that does. I mean, I followed the LCHF sort of the way that wave is growing, because it is. I mean, there's a lot more athletes doing it now than there were maybe 10 years ago. But it's a very different way of thinking and approaching things. Would you say you're racing better now than you ever have following that sort of approach?
No, I wouldn't. I'm racing more comfortably, Brad, which is interesting. It's I think, you know, as far as time-wise, my best performance in an Ironman was Melbourne 2014, and that was before I'd tried the very low carbohydrate diet approach. But it was after I'd been a number of years of doing the fasted training sessions. So I'm sure that having an enhanced fat burning ability did help me to that best ever Ironman result in Melbourne. But since then, I then raced Melbourne in 2015, the year after, having gone onto a ketogenic diet for a while, and then not quite ketogenic, but certainly a very low-carb diet in the remaining months up till Melbourne in 2015. And it was a fascinating experiment, because I found that Melbourne, I didn't feel like I quite had the same top end, but I felt just super comfortable all day, like super stable with my blood sugar levels and my energy levels. It was an almost enjoyable day out, that Ironman. Both years I won my age group, and the second year was tougher conditions. I went a bit slower. I think they're probably comparable, maybe slightly, you know, worse overall placing the second year. But, yeah, there's not much in it. So I think if people are looking for a way to get faster at Ironman, I don't necessarily think, unless they've got, you know, major problems with their nutrition up till now, I don't think that the low-carbohydrate approach is necessarily going to help them if they're looking for that performance improvement. But as far as health-wise and, you know, because I was having some issues with my health, and every couple of years I was getting my blood glucose levels tested, and it was just slowly going up year after year. That's just completely stopped now with changing my diet, where it's and I've never felt better, and I've never felt more comfortable when I do an Ironman race or a half Ironman race. So it's really, you know, it's shown me enough to think that there's no performance disadvantage, and that it's, in my mind, it's a healthier way to live and to eat on a day-to-day basis.
Mm. As far as race day itself goes, are you one of those guys that sort of trains low-carb, races high-carb, or is it across the board pretty much the same?
Yeah, no, I definitely find that, when I started with a low-carb diet, I'm thinking this could be fantastic. I can go and do an Ironman with a couple of gels on the bike and maybe half a gel during the run, and I won't have to worry about, you know, getting that intake correct, and stomach issues and all the rest. And yeah, I quickly found that, well, no, it doesn't work that way. It's like, for me at least, and a few other people I've spoken to, we just got to cram as much, or if not more, carbohydrate in on race day to fuel the pace, the intensity that we want to race at. But it's almost like you've got this background of fuel being burned at the same time, I assume through the fat, where it feels like it's just taking the criticality out of the timing of the carbohydrate you're taking in on race day. So you still need a lot, but it's not like if I don't quite hit that gel at that right moment that my pace is going to drop off and my heart rate and I'm just going to start to fall apart a bit. It's almost like it gives you that backup.
It's quite interesting. Biggest nutrition mistake you've ever made in an Ironman? Tell us about that.
Look, I've got a cast iron gut, Brad, so you're asking the wrong guy. I really can't think of any nutrition mistake I've made other than, what I do is I'll put, 15 plus gels into a drink bottle on my bike and add a bit of water and some salt capsules to that. And that's my nutrition for the bike ride. Probably the biggest nutrition mistake I made, and it's happened at Ironman New Zealand this year, and it happened at Kona, I think, last year, where I've sort of gone through more than half that bottle well before halfway of the bike ride, and you start to freak out thinking, hang on, I'm going to run out of my calories way before I get to the end of the bike. And then you're suddenly grabbing half bananas and bars and gels and everything you can get hands on at every aid station from then on. But it's not a disaster. It's great having aid stations with the backup energy that you need. But other than that, I don't think I've ever vomited in a race. I've really had very few issues nutrition wise, which is touch wood. I know I'm in the minority, I'm sure, amongst Ironman triathletes.
Yeah, too true. Well, Rob, as always, it's been great catching up. Thanks for your time on the Kona Edge, much appreciated. Best of luck, and we look forward to following your progress in the sort of years to come.
Thanks a lot, Brad. It's been great to talk to you and your listeners.
As I mentioned at the top of this episode of the Kona Edge, it's brought to you by S Fuels. And over the last 2 weeks, we've spoken a little bit about triathlon and the low-carb, high-fat diet. And a great pleasure to welcome back onto the podcast today, all the way from New Zealand, Daniel Plues, Dr. Daniel Plues. Dan, welcome back onto the Kona Edge. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks for it. Good to be back.
Dan, let's talk. Last time we spoke a little bit about going long on the LCHF diet, and I mentioned that a lot of people, when they first get introduced to this, the mindset is, what do I fuel on during training? Because people are so used to the high carbohydrate gels and bars, but it's very, very different when you are training and racing LCHF from a fueling perspective when it comes to training. Let's talk a little bit about your approach and how you suggest people train on the LCHF sort of lifestyle.
Yeah, well, I guess when people first take the big dive into the LCHF approach, I think they have to accept that the first 3 to 4 weeks are generally pretty hard, and you actually almost have to force yourself not to eat to really try and push that adaptation, and you actually make that transition to having a higher level of fat oxidation. But even during that time, you can still fuel during your sessions. But I think what you have to take is you have to make sure that you're still really maximizing the adaptation. Then you're helping with that transfer from a carbohydrate dependent state into more of a fat oxidation, the ability to oxidize fat at a high level. You really want to keep insulin as low as possible all the time, so that's before training, after training, and even during training, which means that you want to have bars or food that is more natural and less and low in refined sugars.
Then you mentioned in our last chat the analogy of the sort of petrol tanker and having that big tank of fuel on the back and just taking a pipe and plugging that into your engine as you would a human. And you said now that it takes a bit of time to get that fat adaption right. And that also, I think, throws a lot of people because they almost think that they should be feeling better straight up. But it does take a little bit of time, and it's patience that's required when making the switch.
Yeah, for sure. And like, not only is it you have that immediate 3 to 4 weeks, but also the longer you go, the better and easier it becomes. Like some of the recent study, there was a faster study by Volek and his colleagues, and they looked at kind of more chronically adapted LCHF athletes. So the most of them were for more than 6 months, and some of the findings from that study were actually remarkable, because your body is quite miraculous at finding sources of carbohydrates from something called gluconeogenesis. So that can be finding carbohydrate from protein. So it's not like your body is without carbs ever. It has very smart ways of finding carbs that it will use to actually aid with the oxidation of fat along the way. So, and those real adaptations take quite some time. So that, you know, I think people have to stick at it for at least 4 weeks, and really to get the real big benefits when you really start to be able to find the ability to even do high intensity at quite a reasonable rate. You're talking like more than 6 months.
Dan, as far as actual fueling while training, can you give us some ideas and examples of what you use and what you suggest people use? Obviously, the S-Fuels bars are great, but for you, what do you currently use while training?
Yeah, well, to be honest with you, I actually, I'm so far down the line, I'll often not eat very much at all. I can go, you know, a good 4 hours without eating anything, but obviously I use S-Fuel bars as always my go-to, because they're just super easy and they get the super easy to digest and they get the required result. In the past, if I'm going really long, sometimes I'll take like little sachets of cream cheese. They're quite good. Almonds as well, some nuts. But generally, I'll really try and hold back a lot of the time.
And people also go, well, what do you put in your bottles? Surely you've got stuff in your bottles. What do you drink on the long ones?
Water. Yeah. As boring as it sounds, yeah. I'm really a water guy, and even we can talk about racing, but I'd never have any trouble with my gut when it comes to racing, and we'll talk about that in a bit, I guess. But I do have more carbohydrate when I'm racing, but I think people have to realize that LCHF is a real training tool. So the more you can really restrict and push that fat adaptation along the way, you're actually getting more bang for your buck with every minute, every step, every hour of training that you're doing.
That's fantastic. Yeah, Dan, you mentioned racing, and people might be listening to this going, but that's crazy. This might not be for you. You're a pretty decent athlete. You've raced on the Big Island. I mean, let's talk some of your performances, just to put this in perspective. Ironman PB, half Ironman PB?
Half Ironman PB is a 3:55, and my full Ironman, which was New Zealand last year, which was actually very windy and hard day, was 8:54.
There you go. Well, Dan, I look forward to catching up next time where we talk about your LCHF racing strategy and how you approach things from a nutrition perspective on race day. Don't forget, if you'd like to get yourself a box of S-Fuels bars, it's pretty simple. All you have to do is head over to the KonaEdge.com/S-Fuels. You can get your free box there right now. They'll even cover the shipping if you're in the US, so go check it out. Or simply text the word S-Fuels. That's S-F-U-E-L-S. To 44222, and I'll send you that coupon, and you can get your box sent directly to you. Dan, as always, great to catch up. I look forward to catching up next week. Thanks for your time today, mate.
Thanks, Brad.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kona Edge.